We're sprinting to the end of our studies in James, and we're going to cover the last two verses. You're mindful this morning, we talked about how the importance of prayer, and we sort of ended off on the importance of praying for one another. And prayer is one of the means in which we connect not only to God, but to others in our congregation as we lift one another up in prayer. So verse 19 of James chapter 5 says, "Brothers and sisters, if one of you should wander from the truth and someone should bring that person back, remember this, whoever turns a sinner from the error of their way will save them from death and cover a multitude of sins." This is the word of the Lord. I just want to say a prayer. Father, we pray for your help as we study these final verses of the letter that James, inspired by the Holy Spirit, wrote to the churches. We pray that your word will shine into our lives in case we find ourselves as one of those who are wandering ones. We know that our hearts are prone to wander and we are prone to leave the God we love, and so we pray that you'll help us to hear your voice and to do what you say. By the power of your Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. I don't know if you ever have this experience that as you're going about your day after a Sunday service, suddenly there's a tune in the back of your head and you are singing it, you know, or it's I always call it, it's on the playlist in my head. It just keeps popping up at different times during the week. And it's like, why is that tune in my head? Through the years, I think one tune that just comes, I don't know why, but "Whiter Than Snow." Yes, "Whiter Than Snow. Now wash me and I shall be whiter than snow." That is a tune that just randomly I'll be out and suddenly that tune is in my head. And I don't know why God keeps reminding me of that. In a kind of the same way, we come to the end of James. And sometimes the end of a letter we find courage from as Paul writes to the churches and encourages them. And it sticks in our mind. And James has this, "Whoever turns a sinner from the error of their way will save them from death and cover a multitude of sins." Wow, that's another one of James's many just practical wisdom, and that's how he ends. No greetings, no say hi to so-and-so. It's just like, hey, and by the way, whoever turns a sinner from the error of their ways. I don't know if you've ever had the blessed privilege of being able to walk with someone. I wish I had more experiences of that, where you come to someone and say, "Hey, something's going on in your life, and I want to talk to you about that. Can we talk?" And they listen, and they take to heart your words. Not so much your words, but the Spirit works in them, and then to see a life changed and transformed. And then you realize years later that this person was not that person before Jesus Christ came into their life. If you've had that experience, you know, relish it, celebrate that, and may that be an encouragement for us to continue in every season of our life to continue to reach out to those wandering ones. I titled this sermon, "Not All Who Wander Are Lost." I don't know if you recognize that. That's a Tolkien quote, and had an interesting experience this past week when I had to go in not once but twice for my surgery because I said I liked the first time so much. I said, "I'm going to go back in line again and do this right again." Well, on the first time through, there was this guy with a tattoo on his arm, you know, and I said, he did some things to me, and then he walked away. I said, "Wait a minute, I didn't have time to finish reading that." And then he said, "Oh, it's a quote from Tolkien." I said, "You know what? I have a quote for Tolkien in my sermon this coming week." You know, we have to talk about, we didn't get into a big conversation there. Well, round two, I got to see the same guy again, and we had another conversation about Tolkien and a little bit more, why he loves that so much. And it was a wonderful conversation. I don't know if there was fruit there, but that's the nature. Not all who wander are lost, and I know the concerns that we have for those who are lost, or at least I imagine the concerns that we should have for those who are lost. There is a sweetness in James bringing this to our attention. Remember this. Never forget it. May it be a tune playing in your head as you think of sons and daughters and neighbors and friends who walk away from the Lord. And it's there in your head. They're wondering right now, but maybe they're not lost. What do we do in those situations? As we're maturing in our faith, this closing statement is a warning and an encouragement to all of us. And I think James is forcing us to ask, number one, not so much about those who are wandering out there, but the question that he begs of us is, am I beginning to wander? And if so, what am I going to do about it personally? In any church, every church is made up of all different kind of sheep. You know, there are the aggressive ones, there are the passive ones, there are the sweet ones, there are the bullies, and there are those that trail behind, and there are those that sort of wander around, mindful of the fact that Jesus says, I know those who are mine, and my sheep know my voice. Sometimes they wander and they're out there. Murray McChain, I'm indebted to Alistair Begg. He preaches a sermon on this. I highly recommend you just go to his website and listen to this last sermon. But he references Murray McChain. Murray McChain is the guy who you know, came up with this system. He's a pastor, but the system of reading through the Bible in a year. Well, he's doing that, and I have that system, and I'm using that system, and so I'm really, it piques my interest that he's a pastor. He died at the age of 29. Now, you think young people don't have a contribution to make? 29 years old, and he died, but he had such an impact. Well, he was preaching a sermon about how people who are growing older, you know, just can't really see it in their own. Everybody around them can see that they're growing older, but they can't see it. And he says, gray hairs are here, and they're upon him, and yet he knoweth it not. And just a way of saying, he goes on to talk about how their teeth drop out one by one. Their hands lose their steadiness, their feet lose their elasticity, and they are old in age before they are aware. Now, that's getting painfully close to home for me here. His point was not just about people are growing older and they're not aware of it, but the same kind of thing happens in our spiritual life. And I know I sometimes feel like I'm preaching to the choir, you know. You're the ones that get it. You're the ones that understand this fully. But I am mindful of the fact that slowly over time, if we're not careful, we lose our spiritual youth. Our maturity is halted or stunted, or our faith can seem to be derailed. We wonder. So years ago, we made profession of faith. I don't know what it was like for you, but when I made profession of faith, having gone through a series of up and down, it was such a wonderful experience for me. First of all, to be embraced by my council. They actually let me in. I passed the test. I don't know what I said, but they said, well, in spite of him, we're so glad that you're coming, Anson. And you remember the enthusiasm. And now I'm going to conquer the world for Jesus as a young person. You have that excitement that is so real and so powerful in your life. And then over time, familiarity steps in. You go through the motions. And it happens to all of us. And we begin over time, there is that, as we sung about, the proneness to wonder. And that's what all of us are culpable of. We begin to distance ourselves for Christ, or we don't quite become as attentive. What about our disciplines? Are we taking time to pray? Are we engaged in studying and learning more? And you do that for a little while, and you begin to shift slowly. Doctrinally, you begin to think different things about Christ, about the Holy Spirit, about the doctrine of sin, about the responsibility that we have to submit our lives to God. And then slowly over time, that shift turns to a moral shift. And we began to accommodate God. Well, I think God is okay with some of the things. If I just cut the corners here in my spiritual life or do a little bit less of that, do I have to come to an evening service? I'm not picking on anybody, but slowly we begin to make choices that lead us a little further away. And we neglect the fact that the Bible calls us to absolute holiness. Well, it happens individually. It happens to every one of us. Please know that every sin in our life is an inside job. We cannot blame others. I don't know how many conversations I had with people that say, if it weren't for so-and-so, my faith, you know, would be much stronger. And I get it. I get it. We do things as sinners that hurt others, that misrepresent Jesus Christ. But in the end of the bottom line here is that it's an individual thing. Every deviation from the narrow way is our own deviation. Every disinterest in the things of Jesus is our own disinterest. We lose a taste for it. We become familiar. The old story becomes the old moldy story in our thinking, and every decision that we make to turn our backs on the teaching of Scripture and go our own way is something that we do individually. And that's why James said earlier in chapter 1, everyone, when he is tempted, is turned away and enticed by their own evil desires. Individually, but gradually. It can be like a slow leak over time in a tire. You've had that before? I like the word that is used here for wandering. It's actually the word planeo. It's Greek. That's the word where we get for planets, which are kind of wandering out there in the solar system. Nothing dramatic in our life, yet there is a casual indifference to the path and then a growing feeling that I don't want to be on this path. I don't want to serve in this capacity. I've lost my taste for it. And then sometimes we neglect the path altogether. I had some conversations with people this past week this phenomena that we have, that we're reconstructing our faith by deconstructing. And there's that going on where we're just like, I'm going to imagine a world without God and Jesus and church and people, and what a wonderful world that is. And you're like, oh, when did that leak in your tire start, that you slowly lost that? It's a gradual, it can happen gradually. And it's willful, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, Lord, prone to leave the God I love. Every time we turn away from the truth of God's word, we get further and further off that path. And then we need Jesus Christ to come behind us with his goodness and mercy, which follow and pursue us all the days of our life and bring us back. That's the one side of this equation. The second part of this is restoring those who are wandering. Who is responsible for restoring the wandering? Is it the elders of the church? Is it family members? Is it friends? James doesn't say. He just writes, if someone should bring them back, someone, anyone, which takes us back to where we were this morning, at least to how do we care for one another, praying for one another, praying for one another with an understanding of what's going on in their life. That doesn't mean that we're like secret police, you know, the KGB, where we're always going to be spying on people and monitoring them and pouncing on them when the minute we see that they're going off in a direction. I don't think that's the sense here. But it's with an awareness of our own sinful tendency, our own inability to see our blind spots. I don't know often where my sins are taking me. I thank God more and more as I get older for elders and council members and people that get to know me better and can tell when I'm wandering off the path. I don't always like it, I'll be honest with you, but what a gift that is, because I can't see those dangerous spots. So who has responsibility? Well, the parents have responsibility to watch for their children who profess their faith and now begin to wander. It's the responsibility of a wife to look for her husband and a husband for his wife. It's the special acquaintance. If you know somebody, then you have an obligation to go to those who are wandering. A close friend. We all need accountability. If we understand that first part, that we're all prone to wander, then we have to apply that we need each other on this journey. We need somebody to have that loving, non-judgmental conversation with somebody. Hey, it looks to me like you're not as enthusiastic about spiritual things as you once were. How would you know that if you've never walked with them through the years? Or, I've noticed you haven't been here for 3 weeks in a row, Pastor. What's your story there? Why is it that you're not carrying your Bible anymore? It can be just ways in which we understand and know and ask the questions. I get it. Now, I'm not saying, you know, somebody's like, well, who are you to judge me? You know, get that log out of your own eyes, and I get that. We do have to watch out and constantly repent for that 2x4 that keeps getting in our way for other sins, but at the same time, we all should have a spiritual concern for those who are wandering. I long for that time in church life when it's not just the responsibility of elders. Yes, the elders have a responsibility, but can you imagine if this person that's sitting in this pew with you regularly, and we do tend to sit in the same places every Sunday, right? So you look at those around you. Who's not around you? How much sweat equity would it take of you to just give them a call to say, not where were you, you know, watch your tone, but hey, missed you today. Missed you today. I loved Al's greeting to me this morning. Just warmed my heart. Congratulations, you're new here. I'm glad to see you. I just love the banter. Yeah, that's right. And then afterwards he said, oh, and I didn't know. The guy that I met, this new guy, he got up on the pulpit and preached. I love your sense of humor, Al. That's just wonderful. But even bigger, I know, hey, I was missed. You know, that's kind of a neat feeling. This is what Paul says. He was talking about a similar thing in Galatians. Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in sin, you who are spiritual should restore them gently. But watch out, because you too could be tempted. That's Paul's way of saying, you know, the log thing, like, go ahead, do it. Don't let that log stop you from dealing with the splinter in others' eyes. Go there. It's going to be okay. Who are you to judge me? I know. I know. I'm a sinner too. That's not why I'm doing it. But go to them. Don't run first to the elders or the pastor. and say, hey, Humpty Dumpty fell off the wall. It's all broken, and now you go fix him, because all the pastors, elders, and all the pastors' men could not put Humpty Dumpty together again, right? You say, I don't want to interfere, or who am I to say anything, or what have I got to say? You do have something to say. So I'm reminding ourselves of this. I'm reminding myself of this. We have to go. Do you feel the burden of that? So many people wandering. Doesn't necessarily mean they're lost, but reach out to them. Do you know of anybody today who needs a kind word? Do you miss anybody? Maybe the fact that you miss them is a Holy Spirit nudging you and I to say, reach out to them, call them, hello, just say hello. Watch your tone. Don't come down on them with a whole scripture, you know, here's the book of James to you, you know, but be loving and caring. I think it'll go a long way. And if you don't know of anybody, you know, pray. Pray, God, show me who needs a kind word, who needs to have somebody come alongside of them. I am going to say that I see so many instances of this where this congregation does that well, and it warms my heart. And I'm not saying we're not doing good enough. Now, step it up. I'm just saying, just remember, not all those who wander are lost. It's absolutely imperative that we continue to watch out for each other. If you notice somebody's tires a little leaky, spiritual tires, and their vehicle's kind of wobbling a little bit, you might want to go tell them, hey, can I help you pump that tire up? Tell me what you need, and we'll get it done. And may God bless us in that, and may this word of James sort of be on our playlist this week as we think of those who are wandering around and lost. Amen. God, our Father, look on us in your mercy, we pray. Meet us and fill us anew with your Holy Spirit. Shower on us the blessing of your forgiving grace, so that in turn we may shine the light to others, that we may seek those who are lost, and that we may walk with them and be used by you to restore them to full fellowship where there's joy and accountability and safety. Lord, we need you for this, because we all want to stand before you one day without any regret, or at least with minimal regret in relation to the things that we've considered this evening. We ask this in your precious name, Jesus. Amen.